People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions. You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon inviting you to the first People of Note program for 2025. And in fact, this program is important because it is the first program of 2025, but we are celebrating a very special musical anniversary because one of the most sophisticated and, shall we say, upmarket groups of musicians in Cape Town is known as the Cape Town Concert Series, and they are celebrating their 70th anniversary this year, which seems incredible. So I asked the general manager of the organization, Louise Howler, to come in and talk about the Cape Town Concert Series and their plans for the year. And I'm sure you know Louise Howlett as a presenter here on Fine Music Radio of Matinee on a Tuesday afternoon, also our opera program on the first Sunday of each month. And we hear Louise singing from time to time. So welcome, Louise, and there's lots to find out about you.
Hello. Thank you, yes.
I see that the Cape Town Concert Series was founded back in 1955 under the name of the Cape Town Concert Club, and it was founded by Hans Kramer, his wife Greta, and a businessman, Boris Kennan. And Hans Kramer is a name well known in Cape Town, isn't it? If you used to buy records back in the day, Hans Kramer was the man.
Yes, indeed he was. He owned a special record shop and was the place to go for classical music. And people might know his son, Peter Kramer, who is now the only person in Cape Town that you can go to for classical music. He sells the CD, so if you need hard copies of music, that's with Peter Kramer. And so the legacy has kind of come full circle, which is quite interesting.
But now, as you say, he's the only one. But when the organization began, apparently it was you listened to recorded music.
Yes, so I was asked Peter actually to give me some background information, and he spoke about his father, Hans, who originally started off in the haberdashery department at Woolworths. And he was just a very big, passionate fan of music. He was not a musician himself. And then he got a job with Gallo Music, selling instruments and records, decided he would go solo, and he created the Home of Music, which I think is where Eagle Lighting is now on Long Street. So it was back in those days. And yes, they started up a club for listening to recorded pieces. They'd have a concert of recorded music. So the Recorded Music Society used to meet at the Electricity House, where the Cape Sun now stands, and then it moved to the Home of Music. And but then he branched out with the financial assistance of his friend Boris Kennan and began hosting live concerts featuring a whole myriad of young, up-and-coming international artists whose recordings were available in the shop that he had at the time, and this became the Concert Club.
But also interesting, Louise, back then, just back in the day, as they say, a number of internationally famous singers came out. There's lists here, Victoria de Los Angeles, Imgard Siegfried, Rita Streich.
Yes.
But then the focus became more instrumental, didn't it, and remained so?
Yes, because there became more collaborations with the orchestras around the country, and the agents were bringing out artists mainly to perform concertos with the orchestras, and so they wanted to expand that into the various series. There's also a series in Johannesburg, which actually I think has been going longer than the Cape Town Concert Series, and so the artists would come out to play with the orchestra, and then they'd do a recital, a solo concert, or sometimes chamber music in between going off to other parts of the country.
I remember a friend of mine in Johannesburg, Peter and Cyril Fisher, a lovely couple who ran a thing called Musica Viva, and they had on their walls in their flat photographs of incredibly famous people who somehow managed to get out here in apartheid. They somehow kind of missed the legal thing and managed to get here to perform,
yes,
as happened with the Cape Town Concert Series.
Yes, they had a great deal of musicians, but don't forget also they were young and up and coming at
the
time.
Yes, true, that is true.
So they're going back quite a few years, we're going back 70 years. So they were young and up and coming, like the artists that we have now coming out is the equivalent of what was coming then. Now we look back and we say, but they were so famous. Well, they weren't necessarily so famous at that time. They were still building their careers. And South Africa was deemed to be a very important part of the touring circuit. We've got very, very nice halls, good pianos, and a very supportive audience, which stays till today.
It does, doesn't it? Because just jumping ahead, the concert series, and we're going to talk about how it operates today, but you generally get good audiences, don't you?
Yes, we've had a very good supportive structure for many years. I mean, when the concert series, the concert club first started, it was at the Temple Hall in Greenpoint, and admission was by membership only. So you had to become a subscriber to get into the club, mm-hmm. as it were. But now, of course, things like that have changed.
It's interesting also that the recorded music thing stopped and it became live music. But
yes.
It's quite quaint when you think back today of the recorded music concerts,
yes.
don't you think?
I think that's almost something that could come back now as a, yes. a point of interest, you know, especially if you want to go further inside the music and mm-hmm. The stories behind the music and discussion groups and things like that. It could actually be quite a thing.
Let's just have a music break, Louise, because I'm intrigued to hear who you've chosen. For example, Pierre Fournier, the great cellist.
Yes. So he apparently had a very special relationship with the Kramers over many, many years. And
like
so
a personal relationship as well.
Personal relationship. They were good friends. And actually, they created a scholarship at UCT for a talented cellist at the time. So there was the Fournier Prize that was given out. And that was created through Hans Kramer's relationship with Pierre Fournier. So I thought we'd start the piece.
And what are we going to hear?
We're going to hear the third movement of the Poulenc Cello Sonata with Jacques Favier on piano. Thank you.
Music by the French composer Francis Poulenc, the third movement of his cello sonata, with Pierre Fournier cello and Jacques Février piano. And it was the first choice of my guest on People of Note this week, who is the general manager of the Cape Town Concert Series, Louise Howlett. It seems odd to refer to you because I think of you as a colleague, Louise, here at FMR. Pierre Fournier was a big name. As you said, he had become very friendly with the Kramers. But there were others, Yehudi Menuhin, there were many big names, even though it was a long time ago.
Yeah, Yehudi Menuhin, Maurice Gendron, Jean-Pierre Rampal, Thomas Vassery, Pascal Roger, and James Galway, to name just a few.
James Galway, I had the pleasure of interviewing when I was in Durban, and I got a little bit nervous because he was a big name. He was, at that point, still first principal flute with the Berlin Philharmonic, Herbert von Karajan, and that crowd. But it seems as though he was a very popular artist who came out here and got on very well with everybody.
Yes, I think he's been regarded as that worldwide. I got to meet him and work with him in 2015. He came to UCT to run some workshops and did some concerts then. And he was also very formative when I was growing up at bringing classical music to a wider audience. We had a lot of records with him, Cleo Lane as well. And
he balanced that famous one.
It was great. And it sort of balanced the fine line between crossover and serious music. I mean, he was a really, really good flautist, but he was also very happy to play folk tunes and to bring the music across, which really had an impact on me. This is very much my kind of philosophy as well. So it was very interesting and important when I actually got to meet him.
And that was in South Africa, said, at UCT.
Yeah, at UCT, and we also put some concerts together while he was here. Mm-hmm. And that was 2015, so he was already kind of quite on by then. But he was, I think, a couple of times before with the concert series and to come and visit.
I read very recently, Louise, you might find this interesting, that he, James Galway, has just sold his golden flute.
Oh, gosh.
The famous golden flute he sold. He must have made a lot of money. And it also made that extraordinary sound that he had, that rich, rich sound. Talking about James Galway here, we might be jumping. Were you then, when you met James Galway, part of the concert series?
Yes, I started in 2010. So by then I was already quite well in with the concert series, but also that brought me into working at the Baxter and also in collaboration with UCT, which I'm sure we'll cover a bit more as well later on. It was a great time for meeting people, and he was very interesting himself, very personable. And he plays chess online with people all around the world. When he's in between rehearsals and doing something, then he's in the middle of some game with somebody on the other side of the world.
I mean, he's a real Irish character, isn't
he?
And there is that famous story that when he applied to the Berlin Philharmonic, they gave him a date. He said he couldn't make it. He was busy, which annoyed Herbert von Karajan. But Herbert von Karajan had heard him and was determined to get him into the orchestra. So they indulged him in what he did. I just need to find out, you said you joined in 2010, the Cape Town Concert Series, and were you immediately then general manager?
Yes. Yeah, so Tony Kunert ran it before, and then Ilana Neumeier, I think, ran it before then, and so on. And then the Kramers, I think, was up till about then.
Okay.
And, so I took over straight away, straight in. The season was sort of half booked already, and then I kind of took over from then.
Was it daunting at all? Because, as I said, it's a very sophisticated concert series.
Yes, I was kind of a bit apprehensive, but there's a board that's there.
I was
to
just
going to
say, is there in fact a board?
Yeah, there is a board, and they obviously guided me through a lot of the planning, and slowly but surely it's evolving all the time into something beyond what it was before, hopefully we're evolving it in the right way. It's all what we're going to tell you about
well,
now.
Well, this year, your 70th year.
Yeah, we've got lots going on this year to
and
really
let's just tackle the issue of money at this stage. You obviously have to have sponsorships, surely.
We do. We're very grateful to the Rupert Foundation for giving us some sponsorship to help with the loss, and we have a trust, which I'll talk about in a bit, that help with the fundraising aspect, which has not done so much in the last few years, but we're sort of starting to revive that again as well, and personal donations. So somebody may give enough money to cover the costs of a fee for one of the artists,
and then that happens.
So it's not necessarily hundreds of thousands of rands. It can be a few thousand rands that can go a long way to helping us put on a concert. And one of the main reasons for the sponsorship also is to keep the prices as affordable as possible. So our ticket prices are less than other concerts, and they're probably about half of what it actually costs to run. And we want to keep it that way so that the concerts remain as affordable as possible for people.
The big artists that we've been talking about, some of them still come out, and of course we've got lots of local artists that you feature who are if may I say, just as good in many cases.
Yeah.
And very often you share them with the orchestras, don't you? I think you mentioned earlier.
Yes, yeah. We're very much about collaboration, and we try to collaborate with the orchestras where possible. As of old, you know, when the orchestras bring out an artist and we share them between us. And then
do you then have
recitals.
To share the cost as well?
Yes, yes. But it's helped greatly by the orchestras, so that is a big help.
I'm sure.
To getting them here.
Because they very often an artist would do a tour of the country, wouldn't they? They'd go to the orchestras
they
in Johannesburg and Durban.
They love it.
And then Cape Town.
Yes, Cape Town particularly. I think we have the edge on everyone else with just such beauty around us. And
yes, exactly.
So the artists, they come very generously out here to perform, with understanding the sort of financial constraints to some extent. Mm-hmm. And we are able to support that as best as we can and show them a good time.
One of the things that I find very interesting and challenging about the concert series, the Cape Town Concert Club, concert series as it is now, is that it's the sort of thing, it's not showy like an orchestra, watching an orchestra.
Mm.
It's music, like chamber music, you need to listen to in an intimate way.
Yeah.
And perhaps in a way that requires slightly more concentration, which I think is good for people. It challenges them. And the people who come to those concerts are those sorts of people. Do you agree that want to get into the music more?
Yes, I think it's sort of the next step. You know, you've got the majesty of the orchestra. It's always going to be special. But when you take that artist and you have them on their own telling their own story, or a quartet that wants to play something for you, and each performance is different. Mm-hmm. There is no kind of, we'll come back next time. So, next time will be different. And the concerts all are completely different.
Yeah.
Each person has their story to tell. So I think it's a really special way of listening to music.
It is indeed. Gosh, I want to talk about your link with the Baxter Theatre in a moment. But first of all, I see we have some Schubert coming up.
Yes, I've chosen a piece by James Galway, which is, again, a kind of a serious but popular piece. And it's actually a song, so we don't have a lot of singing. And there is the format of the Songmakers Guild that fills that gap of art song. So I feel that that's an appropriate space for them to also use. And we keep more the instrumental stuff. We do combine sometimes, and we collaborate sometimes. So I thought I'd choose this one, Schubert's Ständchen leise flehen meine Lieder, My Songs Quietly Plead.
Thank you.
That's got to be one of Schubert's most beautiful pieces, although he wrote so many. An arrangement for flute and piano of Stenkin, James Galway flute, Philip Moll piano, and it was the second choice of my guest on People of Note this week, the first of 2025, and we are celebrating the 70th anniversary of the Cape Town Concert Series. My guest is Louise Howlett, who, apart from being a colleague, is the general manager of the concert series. And Louise, I mentioned the Baxter, and you, the concert series, has sort of attached itself in a big way to the Baxter. Tell me how that all came into being.
Well, the Baxter Hall, when it was built in 1977, the Cape Town Concert Series was the very first event that took place in the hall. In fact, it was the very first event that took place in the entire complex.
Really?
Yes. That's so it's quite something. And it actually was the agent for the Baxter for some time. So at the bottom of the programs, like if you would like to perform at the Baxter, not just for the concert series, but for the Baxter, then Hans Kramer was involved as an agent for that, which is, it really had a great prestige. But the concert hall itself is a really fantastic concert hall. It's sort of a little bit in the round, and so it feels quite cozy, even when it's not a lot of people in there. And has fantastic organ, which is at eye level, so you can actually see what's going on with the hall. The acoustics are great. And there's sometimes a competition between the Baxter Hall and the Endler Hall, and both have their specific qualities. But we do have many artists that say they prefer
they prefer the Baxter.
And it's a great theatre complex, so you've got all the facilities are there, and you've got a restaurant, you've got a bar, and ushers, and all parking, everything is there. It's connected to UCT, so there's obviously a lot of student activity as well, and a nice hubbub around the hall, but it is a very, very good hall. And what I say to people is the concerts that we have at the Baxter are special because the Baxter is part of the instruments, if you see what I mean. It elevates the performance level in a special way because of the acoustic that you're an environment that you're in. So it's the best place to hear chamber music and recitals.
It's fantastic. Yeah. And mentioning students and things, I notice at the concert series concerts, lots of the students come down to come and listen, especially if it's a pianist.
Yes.
But at this stage, had it changed its name to the Cape Town Concert Series?
No, when it went to the Baxter and sort of formulated its relationship with the Baxter, then it became a non-profit Section 21, I think it was at that time, it became Cape Town Concert Series. Okay. But many people still call it the club, and I made it quite my mission to make people feel like they're part of a club. Okay. So I'd be quite happy about that.
Do you join as a member, or do you pay at the door, or how does that
you
work?
Can, so it's both ways now. So the subscription, the membership thing that used to happen doesn't happen anymore, that you can subscribe for a set of concerts, and you get a little bit of a discount, but you also get to choose your seat. And then you've got your seat booked for the entire series, which is great, because then you don't have to queue up and worry about not sitting where you like to. So you choose your own seat and pay a membership fee for that, and then you are a member, as it were. And I'll deal with you in a personal manner to make sure that you get the seat that you want. But people can buy at the door, and it's a big hall actually. It seats over 600 people, so there's always space for more.
It's interesting. It's a big hall, and yet, as you said just now, it seems intimate, doesn't
yes.
it? Because of that curve,
yeah.
almost in the round. So
yeah.
It seems extraordinary that it seats 600 people.
I know.
But when you think about it,
yeah.
it actually does. If you see it full,
yeah, then you realize
it really looks full.
Exactly.
And then the other interesting innovation, which I think is quite recent, Louise, is that you changed the time of the concerts to 11 o'clock in the morning, which must have been quite a big decision.
It was the thing that came out of COVID, actually. So when we came back to the hall, we needed to find a space as empty as possible, so you're not supposed to mingle with anybody else. So we thought, well, when is there not going to be other things happening in the hall, in the theatre complex at the same time? And we chose 11 o'clock in the morning. And everybody came and said, this is actually great, you know, because I think yes. what COVID did was made you see that you can do things at any time, because we had to do things in the daytime because there was curfews at night, and people started to realize that they could actually go to a concert in the morning. It didn't have to be a different type of concert. It can be exactly the same kind of concert, but in the morning. And then you go out to lunch, or you've got the whole of the rest of the weekend all set up by the start of really, really good music. So we found it to have a very positive impact, also for people that don't want to drive at night and so on and so forth. And sometimes you get a younger audience coming through as well. So it seems to be quite popular with most people. Some people do have things on a Saturday morning, and then you have to say, well, it's only once a month, so maybe you can change your plans.
That was my next question.
Yes.
How often does it happen? It is once a month.
Pretty much
it?
Once a month, yes.
Pretty well through the year as well.
Through the year, yeah. Yeah, but we've got extra concerts which will come up.
I know, there's so much I want to ask. Yes. Wait, let's have another piece of music, yes. Louise, because we're about to start talking about Joshua Bell and his very popular visit to the concert series. And you've chosen something by Joshua Bell.
Yeah, this is Winter from the Four Seasons. He came out in 2012. And I have to say that was a very exciting time to be part of the concert series, to have such a concert at that time. So it was very special. So I thought we must have a bit of Joshua Bell in the program.
Now, you might have recognized Winter from the Four Seasons by Vivaldi, the first movement with Joshua Bell and the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, which he was directing. He's also the artistic director and conductor now, incidentally. But he visited South Africa for a very successful concert for the Cape Town Concert Series. And we're talking about the 70th anniversary of the Cape Town Concert Series here on Fine Music Radio and People of Note with the general manager of the series, Louise Howlett. And Louise, one of the things that Joshua Bell introduced, or you introduced while he was here, was post-concert talks.
Yeah, this was the first time that we did it, which you hosted.
I did, I remember very clearly.
Which was great, and it has inspired us. So after COVID, I was mentioning also about avoiding crowds in the foyer after the concert. So we decided that we would have a little post-concert talk straight after the concert. The musician came back out on stage, and we chatted to them a bit on stage about how they'd coped through COVID and what instruments they were playing or what their plans were moving forwards, which was inspired from doing it that time with Joshua Belt, because it went so successfully.
And it works well, doesn't it? And the audience loves it.
It's very interesting. Some people talk about their instrument, if they've got to do a bit of demonstration and so on. So it really went well. And now we've made it more that they can come out to the foyer, and we encourage the audience to go and ask them questions and speak to them in the foyer. But Olga Kern, when she was here, for example, we did it also with her because the hall was full, and it just made it simpler. Otherwise, there'd just be crowds everywhere. We would never have got home. So we do those still from time to time. And we also have implemented online notes now, program notes, instead of putting them all into the program. Because, of course, with COVID, you weren't supposed to have paper and things. We make a little program, pocket-sized program, and we have program notes put together by Albert Combrink and a QR code, so which we also email to people. So if you want to know more about the music, you can go inside the music, but you're not sort of burdened with too much information at the time of the concert, so you can enjoy the concert in its own context. The musicians talk to the audience. The barriers are very much broken down and has been for quite a long time, and the musicians really enjoy being able to do that. So that's really one of the great parts. And also with the Four Seasons, it really made me see how important it is to have larger chamber mooks when we can do that. So now we have a collaboration with the orchestra whereby they come with bigger pieces of chamber music and give that opportunity to the audience. And last year, we had the Four Seasons with the four top principals of the orchestra.
Oh, yes,
and it was fantastic
that.
And a great way to hear local musicians play. So that was
it's so
special.
Good that you have a good relationship with our orchestra. I mean, it's essential that happens, isn't it?
Mm.
And in fact, you're collaborating with them now as you go into your 70th anniversary season, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We've got a very special concert in the City Hall with the pianist who's also performing with the Philharmonic Orchestra on the 16th and our concerts on the 18th, George Haliono. And we did this one time before with Dmitry Shishkin as an extra concert, because sometimes we can't accommodate the concerts at the Baxter. We have a wonderful series at the Baxter, but we have now started to evolve into doing extra concerts from time to time. And they either can be intimate experiences where we get up close and personal with the musicians, which I've got a project I'll talk about just now.
I know you've
and
got lots
I've got
of
lots
projects,
of projects.
Please.
And then or we go big. In this case, we're going to have him at the City Hall, which is a really a special kind of experience for the piano, because it's just so there and
absolutely
focused. And it's a fantastic piano that the CPO has. So we're very lucky where we can collaborate with them in this way. And so we're going to have a special gala 70th birthday celebratory concert at the City Hall.
And that's your first one.
That's our first
year
one with George Haliono.
Right.
And then we move to the Baxter. And the Baxter, this has got a bumper season. Actually, almost all the way through the year, we've already packed out. The first concert starts already on the 25th of January with an exclusive concert with a fantastic piano quartet called the Notos Quartet from Germany. And they're coming as part of a tour to go on a cruise. So they land in Cape Town, and then they're going to get on a ship straight after they've done
them
the concert with us, so which we would never be able to afford for them to come over. So they're going to start our concert series off proper at the Baxter. And then we've got the Spina Benietti piano duo. They're going to do a four-hand concert on our piano in February. And March, we're going to have the Baxter trio. So Francois de Toy and Farida Bakarova and Graham Duplessis, fantastic musicians all based at UCT, and they've become the Baxter Trio. So we at the Baxter will launch the Baxter Trio, which is very exciting.
Good.
And in April, so our chamber music thing that we've always got with the CPO, we're not going to do the same thing this year. We're going to do something even more special, which is bring percussion from the back to the front, up close, front and center stage. And if you're a bit worried about chamber music with percussion, it is really interesting and really exciting and quite tuneful. Magda de Vries is coming down from Johannesburg, and she's going to be working with the principal percussionist of the CPO, Eugene, and then there's Stefan and Dylan Tabisher, who play with the CPO all the time. They're going to be playing with that. So that's going to be percussion, and you'll find out all about the instruments. I think it's really interesting.
And that's April.
And that's in April. But then in May, and that brings us to our next piece of music, as you are about to tell me.
yes, I was indeed.
We've got the pianist Rebecca Amodia, and she is championing African and particularly South African music in Europe. She works a lot with the BBC and Wigmore Hall and so on, playing African and South African works. She's coming to South Africa anyway to work on a commission of a new Concerto by Grant McLachlan. And so while she's here, we've managed to scoop her up, and we're going to have her for a concert. She's released an album called African Pianism, and we will get to hear that here in Cape Town.
Live.
Very special.
Yeah,
live,
yeah,
in,
yeah,
Cape Town, which is very special.
That's in May, did you say?
That's in May, yeah.
So what are we going to hear her play now?
We're going to hear her play Senzeni Na, which is arranged for piano by Grant McLachlan.
The pianist there was Rebecca Omordia, and she was playing a piece arranged for piano by Grant McLachlan called Senzeni Na. And that's from a new album which he's released that we're going to hear live in Cape Town in May. Is that right,
oh,
Louise?
Yes, that's right.
And Louise Howlett is my guest. We're talking about the 70th anniversary of a bit of a gem in Cape Town's musical crown, the Cape Town Concert Series. And I saw that you close the series in July, don't you, for the month, because of the Stellenbosch Chamber Music Festival.
Yes.
So that's another collaboration which is important.
Yes, because there's such incredible chamber music going on there.
Yeah,
I feel it's,
yeah,
very important that we support the chamber music happening, that people, I rather encourage people to go there. And I can say that really that's one of the, I think, biggest evolutions of the concert series, really, is its collaborative approach to supporting other concerts in Cape Town. We say we present the finest international and local artists at the Baxter as we can, but we also want to support other concerts in Cape Town. And so we have created the Unplugged newsletter. And this is featuring all the classical music all in one spot, so you can go read this newsletter and find out about everything that's going on in Cape Town of the professional classical music scene, of which there is always quite a lot.
There's quite
over 20 concerts happening in January, for example, coming, whoa, up now with the orchestra and so on and so forth. So we contribute obviously to that as well with our own concerts. We've got a lot going on. And one of the things also with the collaborations is that we can't, as I've mentioned before, always fit them in at the Baxter. And so we have created an extra concert series attached, a Cape Town concert series extra, which is where we take an artist and collaborate with them somewhere else. And it could be a big thing like the City Hall. But more often or not, it's about intimate and more up close and personal, where you really get to engage with the musician and talk. We started, one of the first ones was with the cellist Torif Tedin at Spin Street. And now we're going to do one at Ian Burgess Simpson Studios, because they've looked after our pianos since forever. They're an incredible team of people and very patient with us also. We have an old piano. She's doing well. But we will need at some point to replace. So we want to try and sort of create awareness and also fundraise towards that for the future. And we're going to do that with a series at the Ian Burgess Simpson studios themselves. We have a pianist that's coming out also as part of a cruise situation, wonderful pianist called Alexander Ullman, and he's here literally for one day, and he contacted us and said he'd love to play somewhere. We thought, well, why not bring him to the studios and also get a chance for people to come to the studios, which are just around the corner from Steenberg and Norval in Westlake, and you can sit in amongst all the pianos, like,
yes,
right
I was
next
to, say,
to him
you
if you want
because
to
it's
and there's a balcony
pianos.
Yeah, and there's a balcony that you can look over and see all the pianos underneath. It only can seat about 45 people, and then we'll have this very special concert of Grieg and Chopin he's going to play, and then afterwards we're going to have little drinks in the workshop. So all the pianos are taken apart and they're all standing on upside down and the keys are out everywhere, and so people can see the workings of the pianos and speak to the artist about his music, and also speak to Ian Burgess. We'll be there, and Garth too, to discuss.
Garth is the
Garth
technician.
Hammer,
yeah.
one of the technicians.
Him at all your concerts,
yes,
when there's a
bless
piano
him. So he'll be there to talk about how the pianos work, you know. Mm. And we want to do this also as a kind of a shared collaboration for the work that they do looking after our pianos, because it's crucial to have the top quality piano for our recitals.
When is this?
The first one's happening on the 26th of January. And then we thought we'll expand the series a little bit. We've got William Berger going to be singing with Alex Gabriel at the beginning of February to show how the piano works with voice. And then we're going to have Ramon Alexander, who is a jazz pianist, to do jazz unplugged, so no noisy instruments around him, just him and the piano, to show actually this full scope of how the piano sounds. So that's a little series, extra concerts on the side. And it really will be supportive through our trust. So we have a trust named after the Kramers, the Kramer Concert Series Jubilee Trust, which helps us with fundraising and support. And we've got new trustees now. It's Karen Brand, who, if people have come to our concerts, they will have seen her help at the desk for many years now. And Albert Combrink, who helps us also with artistic advice, and he writes our program notes and so on.
And he accompanies you very often.
Yes, but not like in the concert series. I know, but that's a separate, you know, my separate hats of performance are very much separate to what happens with the concert series.
Right.
And but he's a great resource of information, and really, really, both of them together from a logistical support. So they've become the part of the trust to help us. And the trust was set up back in 2003 with the helps of people like Ben Rabinowitz in the day and David Late, who was incredibly supportive and helpful to me personally when I started working at the concert series with Bill van Rensburg. And many people know Bill van Rensburg is very supportive of concerts in Cape Town. And his partner was David Late. And they, both of them together, helped me when I started back in 2010 with the history, and also encouraging me all the time to go beyond, you know, what we had done, and to evolve into being what I feel we are now, is very much a collaborative community of musicians.
You like that word, collaborative.
I do, but
it's
so important. It's so important.
But just before we run out of time completely,
yes,
you've got an entirely new series starting this year at St. George's Cathedral. Now, what on earth? As though there's not enough.
Well,
what is this all about?
Well, this is also really connected to musicians in Cape Town also, and to tourism, because there is not a lot of representation of classical music, because it's never anything set and programmed. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to create something that it was free access and open to all. and featuring all of our different musicians that we have around Cape Town. So musicians from the orchestra, from the Baroque orchestra, and coming together, playing concerts, little lunch hour concerts from 1:15 till 2:00, to just give people a little eye-opening to the classical music that's going
and
on.
And in St. George's Cathedral.
It's in St. George's Cathedral, which also has become an institution whereby it's sort of ticked the box on the list of if you come to Cape Town, or if you work in Cape Town, you don't even notice it anymore. Mm. So we want to people to come.
And yes, it's a magnificent
it's
building.
It's a fantastic building, wonderful acoustic. It's cool in the summer. Mm-hmm. And we want people who are visiting Cape Town to come along and spend time there and unplug and connect and and think about the space that they're in and also the music that they've got. And for people that work in Cape Town and people around the area to reconnect with the city centre.
So this is quite interesting. It's in the city centre. It's in that beautiful church, St. George's Cathedral. It's free.
It's free.
And it's twice a week.
Twice a week. So every Tuesday and Thursday from the 14th of January to the end of March, there will be a concert happening of something. Most of the concerts are already sorted out. And we've got, as I say, musicians from the orchestra going to be playing and some Baroque orchestra people. And there's going to be an organ recital because the organ's also very fascinating. And a real glimpse into the music-making experiences of Cape Town that also hopefully people think, oh, you know what, I haven't been to a concert for a long time. Let me actually come to the back and hear these people properly, or let me come to the City Hall and listen to the orchestra play. We've sort of haven't done that for ages, and we should do so. It's a little tester or a taster or something, food for your soul.
But
that we
the
want
big
to
question
do.
Is how do people know about these concerts and what's happening and when and who?
Well, the unplugged letter is the kind of the source of all information. Fire Music Radio is a very important part for us too, because these things get announced, and we're just trying to spread the word for everybody to get
so
to know.
So, how do you get hold of the unplugged newsletter?
You can contact me at info@ctconcerts.co.za and we get put on it. It's on our website, so the CT Concerts website. There's a subscribe join button there that you can do.
And that's a list, pretty well a list of everything that's happening.
That's pretty much a list of everything that's happening. And also, we sell our tickets for the Baxter through web tickets, and we sell the unplugged tickets and the Fazioli. Everything extra is through Quicket, just so it doesn't cause any confusion.
Right, and I see, Louise, your next piece of music is with the Cape Town Baroque Orchestra, a Handel Overture.
Yes, we work a lot with the Baroque Orchestra as well. We also want to support them. They have a festival running every year in September, and we incorporate that as part of our series wherever possible, and also encourage and share the news of that to sort of bring the two worlds together, which we really enjoy.
Thank you. That was the Cape Town Baroque Orchestra, directed from the harpsichord by Eric Dippenaar and the overture to Rodelinda by Handel. And we're almost at the end of our program, our celebratory program for the Cape Town Concert Series. And Louise, apparently, there's a clever little twist here, because our last piece of music is going to feature you as a singer, because we know that you're a singer, a trained opera singer, and you can do cool jazz and nightclub music as well. And James Grace is performing here with you. Just explain the reason for this.
Well, I thought it would be nice to play out with something just so people understand all sides of where I come from. And a little prayer I thought might be in order for the series that's coming to pass. All this wonderful, wonderful music that backs the concert series, the Fazioli and the Unplugged. And yes, James Grace offered to come and open the Unplugged series for us. He's played for the concert series a number of times with great success. So I found this piece of music that we recorded a few years ago, and I thought we would play it out with our Ave Maria to say thank you very much for giving us this opportunity. And let's hope we have 70 years more of music making in Cape Town.
And just quickly, that email, that address again to find out about the Unplugged letter.
info@ctconcerts.co.za.
Right. I was talking to Louise Howlett, who's the general manager of the Cape Town Concert Series. And now we're going to hear her with James Grace. Louise, thank you.
Thank you.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turing Productions. FMR.